Join us now as we ascend the treacherous Dice Tower network. Look at this. We stumbled onto the fledgling board game Point of View. What a treat. I'm going to try and touch it. Crikey, it nearly took me arm off.
Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming and also a very proud member of the Dice Tower Network. My name is Adam. I'm your moderator tonight. I'm also joined by Steven.
Hey-o!
Seth.
Yes.
And a returning guest, Mr. Powell.
Guten Tag.
Wow.
I decided to go German with it.
This is an English podcast.
For all our German listeners, definitely going to appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm just making it more accessible.
We have, as usual, a lot to talk about tonight. There is much going on in all of our lives, and we are going to start there. Mr. Powell, I'm looking right at you.
I know.
What's happening in your life?
I didn't have anything prepared for this part.
I didn't prepare anything.
I have a speech on a napkin.
Right. Okay. All right.
No, it's just a lot of school. Trying to make sure that I pass all my classes so I can graduate. Lots of fun there.
That's right. You're graduating in...
like 32 days, I believe.
32 days out.
From the recording of this
they
podcast.
They grew up so fast.
Hashtag all aboard the hype train.
That's a really long hashtag.
That is the perfect length of a hashtag, Seth.
Hashtag, this hashtag is definitely not too long, tag.
Okay, what?
Tag?
I don't know.
Everyone puts tag at the end of that.
Yeah, you know.
Hashtag.
What?
Don't do it.
Mr. Powell does not utilize social media, so...
a wise choice.
Mr. Powell tags all his hashtags? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, he goes hashtag and says it and then ends it with tag again.
Definitely.
Like, typed out.
Okay. Sandwich style. I like it.
Yeah. Perfect.
So, Mr. Powell, what are you going to do after you graduate?
I'm going to take a year off, I think. Get a job, do that kind of stuff, get some money, and then eventually I plan on moving to Oregon.
More like Boregon.
Hey, yo!
So what's in Oregon?
I've lived in Billings all of my life, and I feel like it's just time to spread my wings and fly.
Okay.
Wow, that's truly beautiful.
Wow.
I take back everything.
Well, that sounds good. Best of luck passing all of your classes.
I'm going to need it.
You know what? Board games are good for math is what I've heard recently.
That's not what I've heard.
Really? I heard that on the Dice Tower podcast, actually.
You can't trust those guys.
Whoa.
I'm kidding, of course.
Steven.
Yes.
What is happening in your life?
Well, the headquarters... is finally well on its way to opening, so I have officially left my job at Fuddruckers, and I have started training in the art of coffee, and it is very exciting, very intriguing, it's very chill, which is kind of nice, nice change of pace from the stress and everyday just nonstop grievances of my last job, so it's been a lot of fun. And as of this podcast, we open in like a week.
Right.
Approximately. So that's exciting.
And I guess we should say we are coming to you live from the unfinished headquarters.
We are indeed.
With the exception of Seth, who is still at school in Bozeman.
Speaking of the headquarters, how is it coming along, seeing as you spend most of your time here?
I do. I spend my evenings here now. I just... crawl up a column and hang from the rafters like a bat to sleep.
Perfect.
And
sounds about right.
Wake up, refreshed.
I helped you destroy a wall a couple of nights ago.
That's right, you did.
I was dual-wielding hammers.
You were.
Like a beast.
Yes.
And then Mr. Gregory shows up with a sledgehammer.
Right.
And just really wanted to outshine me, but I feel like at the end it was net zero. We just kind of evened out.
Right.
Although you may have arguably won the Beastmaster Award because you just flat used your fist. So.
Right. You know.
He sleeps like a bat.
Yeah, right. You sleep like a bat too, apparently, so all the way around.
Definition of beast.
Yeah.
After a while, you know, tools just get in the way, so.
And there was a ghost.
Really?
I should tell that story.
Yeah, tell this story, because okay. I wasn't there.
So,
it was a ghost.
Me and Mr. Gregory, or technically it would be Mr. Gregory and I,
right.
You know, were in the bathroom tearing down said wall. Hmm? Adam, you left the room. I can't even remember why.
I went to use the restroom.
That's it. You went to the restroom.
Which we were not demolishing.
The other non-demolished restroom. And I was just banging away on this wall with these hammers. And I realized, wait, don't people live like upstairs from us in this building? So I stopped and I asked Mr. Gregory said question. And he says, I think so, but I don't know if... And he gets cut off by a very, very real and violent pounding on the floor, like coming up from the basement. And there, and a voice yelled at us, 100%. I could not make out what it said, but like somebody like in a hotel that you would hear bang on the wall and then yell at you to like quiet down. It was just like that, but it was coming from the basement. And we both just stood there for a minute, like, did that really just happen? And then we thought, oh, that must have been Adam, or that was somebody downstairs, or whatever. Adam comes back. He's like, no one lives in the basement. No one's down there. I'm like, really? And we go down there, no sign of life whatsoever. Adam has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
But it 100% happened, so that's kind of freaky.
Yeah, the basement is just, that's where we store, like, the toilets that we took out of the restrooms, and it's just a dark hole down there right now. So
I'm pretty spooked.
I was not there, so Stephen could be making this all up, but he and Mr. Gregory seem to be pretty adamant that this happened. So the old hotel that we are moving into may be a little bit haunted. That's interesting that you heard a yell of some kind.
Yes. No, it was freaky, man.
Wow.
Perhaps it was sound waves traveling through the pipelines.
Get that science-y crap out of here.
We're talking ghosts here.
We're talking about ghosts. The supernatural. Come on.
That's pretty exciting.
Hashtag ghosts tag.
Seth, what's happening in Bozeman? You're almost done with your semester there.
Yes, pretty close. A week after the end of this month, and I'll be free for at least a little bit.
I see that you dropped your music on the interweb the other day.
Which is really good, by the way.
Top notch.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Listen to that. I was like, exactly what I needed right now.
So, I've been working on that. Other than that, not so much. Board game nights here have been slowed down because of just recent things like spring break and Easter.
Right.
So we didn't really do a lot there, but we're going to start that up again soon.
And nice.
Yeah. Just a lot of preparing for the end of the semester and the summer. So.
Right. And I guess we should also say International Tabletop Day happening the end of the month. Last year, we podcasted from two different board game shops in two different cities. This year,
two different states,
two different countries. Come on.
Oh, nice.
No, that's next year.
Oh, okay.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We got to ease into that. Yeah.
We'll do continents and then we'll do planets.
Yeah. Deal.
Perfect.
So we may have to return to the closet of Cab Sports Cards and Collectibles and do another podcast this year.
It sounds magical. I don't know what you're talking about. But we may teaser. There may be a wide variety of guests from the past making appearances.
Wow.
Can we promise things like that?
Yes.
Okay.
I have not discussed this with Adam, but it's been recorded now, so. Okay.
So it's fact.
Yeah.
Let's just see how many people we can pack into that closet. This is literally a broom closet in which we podcasted.
We got a 1v1, Adam, you and me. K-Wing versus Punisher.
Yeah, you're right about that. We settled our bet, and now we must duel.
Now we must settle it even further.
That's right.
Now we must duel. I like that too.
Where the settling must take place.
We must settle this in the closet at cab.
In the cockpit. Wait, what? The closet? What? No, the
Two men enter a closet.
Right. One comes out.
Star Wars is out.
Wow, that was good. I don't even know who actually said that. I like it.
We'll make it happen on International Tabletop Day.
Sweet.
Other Star Wars news this week related to board games. X-Wing, the miniatures game, now the most popular miniatures game on the planet, outselling Warhammer 40K. So that's pretty cool news.
That is simply wild.
Yeah, I know it's a real bitter pill for you to swallow, Seth, considering you don't like the game that much.
But I just don't understand it.
You're asking yourself, why didn't this happen years ago?
I think this is one of the best times for X-Wing to reach this spot just because of all the new releases that are coming out and the wealth of different play styles that you can employ and different ships you can get. Because when we first started playing, I mean, there were a lot of different ships, but it's probably at least doubled since then.
Right.
And so I can definitely see how this is just going to become even more and more popular as more and more ships, more and more Star Wars comes out.
Right. So what do you think has catapulted X-Wing past Warhammer? Mr. Powell, being maybe one of the only people in the group who has actually played Warhammer.
I imagine so. It's far more accessible than Warhammer. Warhammer is a very expensive game. And to play it, you need at least 4 rule books.
Wow.
And a wealth of dice. And gluing and painting skills and a map to play it on. And several other people. So it is very inaccessible. And X-Wing, it ties it all into like a single box that you can play this game in.
Right.
There's not like complicated rules. All the moving around has templates instead of having to measure it out with an actual ruler.
Right.
And the combat is easy to learn. It's easy to learn, but hard to master, kind of.
I think the other interesting thing is that third on the list, I want to say, is Armada. So
I think so, too.
Yeah, X-Wing and Armada taking 2 of the top 3 spots in the miniatures world.
And Armada is also just going to keep going up and up. And I know a lot of X-Wing players that have like almost switched all the way over to Armada at this point just because they like it that much. So,
right.
Stay tuned for what Armada will do next.
Right. We'll stay tuned for Seth's addiction to Armada coming in 2017.
No, never. I don't think I have an addictive personality. I think that I can recognize my boundaries.
Yeah.
And that is being addicted to one game is
enough
for me.
Speaking of exciting board game news, there is a game on the horizon based on the Mad Max genre entitled Wasteland Express Delivery Service. It is a pickup and deliver game set in a post-apocalyptic world. It is designed by one of the co-designers of Dead of Winter, so already we are inclined to like it.
Yes.
It's already got the points.
It does. The artwork is very compelling, very edgy. Looking at some of these characters on BoardGameGeek, they've released quite a bit of the artwork, and this is not your grandmother's board game for sure.
You don't know that.
You don't know my grandmother.
Right?
You don't know what she's into, her interests, her hobbies.
Maybe my grandmother is like really into Mad Max. So.
Yeah. Although I will say that some of the artwork, I mean, I think we all know which one I'm referring to, is just downright disgusting, but...
There is some disturbing artwork. There is no doubt. I'm not... It takes an imagination to dream up some of the stuff that I'm looking at here.
And no small amount of acid.
Right.
Or LSD or whatever your drug of choice, but...
Right. But the Mad Max world is very zany and crazy and a little bit messed up. So if that is what they're going for here, I think they have achieved that goal in spades. I like the guy who is in the, it looks like an old maybe auto racing suit. Looks like he has wet himself a number of times. And how does this game make you feel? Just looking at the artwork, knowing that it is a basic... pick up and deliver game where you will be trading food, weaponry, and goods from one outpost to another.
I like the idea of a merchant-based game set in a post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland, I imagine.
Right.
But it's an intriguing idea.
Yeah, I feel the same way about this game as I feel about the Mad Max films.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's cool, it's very unique. I don't fully understand what I'm looking at.
Right.
And I can't really wholeheartedly say if I like it or not. It's just kind of interesting. Yeah.
It is interesting.
It's like it's worth a try for sure.
Right.
But
it's unique. I will say that. Seth, are you looking at this artwork?
I am not.
Okay. You should we'll check you some of this artwork out if you're at your computer. It's pretty crazy.
Seth, wait. I'm going to send you just a picture on my phone.
All right, Steven's going to send you a photo.
And it may give you just intense night terrors. Eventually you'll overcome them and be a better person for it. So
we'll recover someday.
It's on its way.
It's going to be delivered any minute now.
I mean, now it's just like, am I going to be disappointed? Oh. Alert.
Yes, that is supposedly a woman, by the way.
We assume.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
This may be your grandmother. I'm not sure.
Oh,
wow, savage.
Wow. I don't know. Straight savage.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
If we were so
far, I need a minute.
Some ice for that bird.
The yore was a corporate yore. Not a specific yore.
No, yeah, you were sure. Referring to Seth.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, can you tell me what that says on that little jar?
It says beans, I believe.
Sorry, I thought it said beans, but I don't really see the N, so it just looks like beans. So,
this woman is wearing a jar of beans around her neck.
I do believe that says beans.
Yes, yes. So, what would an elderly woman...
Oh, God.
Nope.
Be wearing a jar of beans around her neck for. I do
That's
not know.
That's not what I'm worried about.
Okay.
When it comes to what this woman is wearing, the beans are the least of my concerns, okay? I mean, come on.
There are way bigger things happening in this picture.
If you haven't looked up a photo of this particular character, you definitely should. Brace yourself, first of all.
And don't have any children in the room.
Right.
They will be asking some questions you may not like to answer.
Mommy, why does that woman have beans around her neck?
So, point of all this, terrific family game.
Family game of the year.
Yeah, that's what we're going to predict.
I think I'm going to sign up for the art books, Stephen.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to order the art book for this.
Huge,
right.
Huge, detailed,
right.
Like, poster size.
Exactly. We'll put it in the headquarters.
Yeah, and specifically request this character. Just right above the bar. We will sell beans.
Beans.
You can wear beans.
Yes.
And it'll be magic. Just pure magic.
So, wait, hold on. One more thing about this.
Okay.
Is that on BoardGameGeek, you can find a 3,000 by 1,000 pixel rendition of this art.
Oh, my.
So,
do that and,
I'm looking at it in high definition right now. There's so many details I didn't notice.
You're looking at the detailed photo?
There are things that I want to point out that I just don't know if I can on this podcast.
I'm definitely seeing some things, but...
All right. Go ahead and point them out. We'll just bleep them if they're a little bit too graphic.
So on the little spiky... there's actually a little down there attached as well.
Okay.
I didn't notice that in this small picture.
Okay.
That's pretty great.
Has
around her neck.
I do see the... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that before. Belly. Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Belly button piercing? That is the truth.
This is the most explicit review of a game we've ever done. I apologize for anyone who is faint of heart.
Yes, very much so.
I was mesmerized by that picture. And not in a good way. More like in the way where you want to look away, but you just can't tear your eyes from it. Like you just want to kill yourself.
That is exactly how I felt.
Thank you. Someone else understands my feelings.
Another game we're excited about is the imminent release of Seafall, the Rob Davio legacy game, in conjunction with Plaid Hat.
Rob Davio?
Yes.
Rob Davio? What a guy. We love
Rob Davio.
We're
talking about the Rob Davio?
The Rob Davio.
Not his cousin.
The one and only.
Richard Davio. Yeah. No, this is Rob.
No,
This is the Rob Davio.
They released the box cover for Seafall recently, and
did it just blow your mind?
It didn't blow my mind, but it shot up on the board game hotness list with just a cover release.
This is so hot game. Right now.
I know.
Dude, what kind of hotness are we talking about here?
We're talking about Davio hotness.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's what I like to hear.
This is turning into a late night radio show.
Rob Davio.
This is going to be our first podcast marked explicit.
Right.
This is our best episode. Yeah. About.
No, but this is a legacy game that Rob has been working on for many, many years. From what I've heard, it plays fantastically and will be the best legacy game released as of yet, which is a lot to say because Pandemic Legacy, also a Rob Davio collaboration, shot
wait,
to...
Wait.
Yeah.
Rob Davio.
Rob Davio.
Right. We're talking about the Rob Davio.
Robert Davio, yes.
Wow. Oh,
oh, yeah. I don't even know what I'm thinking anymore.
So, Pandemic Legacy,
right.
A Rob Davio game.
Right. Shooting the number one
yes.
on Board Game Geek within just a few months of its release. So, we are going to order this because it's Plaid Hat and Rob Davio.
Rob Davio. You know what?
All right,
I need to take this moment for just a second.
Okay.
And give a shout out.
Right.
To Alex Eating.
Okay.
I miss you, Alex. I love you.
Let's talk about the name of this game. It doesn't really live up to Rob Davio's own name. I mean, Seafall. I'm just going to call this Rob Davio's Pirates.
Not sure what to think about that.
Yeah, I don't know that the name really conveys that it's going to be a pirate game.
It's not a pirate game.
It's from the cover.
It's a sea merchant
game. I saw
game.
Boats. Sea merchants, pirates? What's really the difference at this point?
I'd be willing to bet that there's going to be pirates involved in this game.
I mean, Rob Davio's Sea Merchants just does not have the same ring to it.
It's been Seafall for so long, I doubt he can change the name, even if there is a better name.
This is the greatest name I've ever heard in my life.
I know, well, so we are excited for this, needless to say.
Yeah, it looks okay. Rob Davio, though.
Speaking of legacy games, we dusted off our copy of Risk Legacy the other night.
What?
After more than a year hiatus.
Yes. The last session was played on February 25th of 2015. Let that sink in for a minute.
So there was a large layer of dust on top of this game, tucked away in the back of Steven's closet, I'm sure.
It was in my life.
So we dusted this off. Mr. Wall, now residents of another country, was not able to attend. our recent meetup. However, we recruited Mr. Gregory to play in his stead.
Okay, quick recap. I did absolutely nothing. And that's not even an exaggeration. I'm pretty sure I was in maybe two battles in the entire game. Mr. Gregory just ran around amok with his bear swarm, very much like Mr. Wall. May he rest in peace.
What? He's not dead. He just lives in
another country. Not dead.
So, scratch that. Adam, you kind of had an interesting thing happen, but we'll get back to that.
Okay.
Mr. Powell here was on the verge of rage quitting life, which was very reminiscent of the last session we played. I don't know why he still plays with us, really.
I don't either.
So it was not that surprising, but it still was kind of like a very sudden.
Right, from out of nowhere.
Kind of come from behind of a sort.
Yeah.
Victory. Kaylee won her first session of Risk Legacy.
Right.
So she is officially on the board as a winner. So congratulations to her. But that was like halfway outshined, I guess you could say, by the just insane
event
that happened while Adam was playing, which we cannot really discuss considering it would be a spoiler.
I would agree, except that game is terrible and I don't want other people to have to experience it.
Wow. Ignore him.
I need your beef with this game.
The funny thing is it has way less to do with the game and way more to do with the players. So if you really want to just be that sour about it, you can just get mad at us. Don't blame the game. Anyways.
So much anger is bottled up in Mr. Powell.
Yes, so much. It's just almost overflowing. But needless to say, an event happened which changed the landscape, literally, of Risk Legacy forever.
Right. Risk Legacy has been out for a number of years. I think we can say safely, this is a spoiler alert. So, we are going to spoil something for those that haven't played. If you are interested in playing, maybe just fast forward about 5 minutes here. Because this is an event that happened that none of us were ready for.
No.
There is a special section within the box that indicates when a player brings 30 troops onto the board and has a missile, you open this little hatch.
And upon doing so, you discover, wait for it, dramatic buildup, wait.
Aliens.
Aliens. Adam, you said it too soon.
You ruined the moment.
But that still is, I mean, you know, we can work with it. So yeah, a whole alien race is unlocked and unleashed onto the board.
Right.
It is a sixth playable faction. Any player can just play as the aliens now.
Right.
And as part of this whole event, Alien Island is actually a new territory that you got to choose where you placed it on the game board.
Right.
And then connect it anywhere you wanted between two continents.
Right.
So we actually connected Australia,
right,
with Argentina over in South America.
Exactly.
And so now, you know, South America and Australia, two corners of the board that were relatively safe before, just have this line right in between them with Alien Island.
Right.
So that'll be very interesting to see, like, how that unfolds in upcoming games.
Right. And it was interesting. I'm playing as this robotic kind of cyborg faction. And I was actually the one that brought the troops onto the board. And when the aliens initially land, you discover that they are collaborating with a current faction in the game. So it turns out I was actually collaborating with the aliens
this whole time.
Right. To wipe out humanity on the planet.
Makes sense, because the aliens hate humans, and you are not playing as a human race.
Right.
So, yeah.
So thematically, it was a lot of fun.
Yep. And just for that one session, you actually got to control both the Die Mechaniker and the aliens at the same time.
Yeah.
Which in future games, it's two separate playable races. But for this one experience, you had both sets of troops, which was just terrifying. But then Kaylee, just out of the blue, victory.
Yeah. Seth, what's your take on this?
I don't even really want to ever play Risk, and that sounds super amazing. That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
I'm hyped. I want to see like detailed battle reports about this kind of stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. It was so cinematic, just picturing aliens like being unearthed at the most unexpected moment, because it was very unexpected. I mean, like, typically, most of the things you unlocked in this game were like cards, things of that nature. So to open the hatch and just see a bag of aliens there with a race, like, what?
Yeah.
It blew our minds open.
Seriously.
And also, just as a side note, like all of the other factions in this game, the artwork for the aliens is very cool, and the miniatures are very neato burrito.
So, Risk Legacy, still surprising us a year later. And again, this was the first Legacy-style game, and to have something as awesome as that happen, knowing that other Legacy-style games are being released in Pandemic Legacy, I can't even imagine. This gets me excited to play Pandemic Legacy. So when are we going to play again, gentlemen? 2017 sometime?
Yeah. At our current pace.
Right.
Yeah.
I think 2020 works for me.
Okay. Well, we'll give it another go here soon and see if we can unlock another one of these little hatches.
Will we, though? Will all of us give it another go? Mr. Powell?
When I agreed to join, I will see it through.
So poetic.
I'm a man of my word.
Again.
Even though, I mean, I don't think he said a single word for about an hour.
It's been steaming.
And the sad thing is, he was so mad at me because he wanted my aid. And then there was so little I could legitimately do. And when I finally was like, okay, I'm going to attack, my attack was just not getting me anywhere. It was just an atrocity, really.
And I was just on the defense the entire game.
Yeah, well, you're the one who just started slinging bullets.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Let's move on.
So another game we got to the table recently that we haven't played in a while that we should talk about now is D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, is that what that stands for? I thought it was Doubloons and Dragoons.
That's brilliant. Someone write that down.
So Seth was able to return to Billings and run a session of D&D for us recently. We are continuing to play our first ever session. We're going through the, what is this called, Seth?
Yeah, so that's actually just the starter edition of Dungeons & Dragons for 5e. Okay. And right, we're playing the campaign that comes with that, The Lost Mine of Phandelver,
which we are frantically searching for and have not found as of yet.
That is indeed the case.
Yes.
Almost there.
I really gotta say that I feel like each session is kind of getting better, at least.
Oh, definitely.
From the, like, how smooth it's going gameplay-wise.
Right.
Now that we actually understand the mechanics and kind of our characters a little bit more and, like, the concept of role-playing, that is much more enjoyable because there's not so many questions being raised, not so much confusion.
Right.
And it also, the whole time, for me personally, builds the hype for future campaigns in general.
Right.
Like, this campaign has been a lot of fun, but it is just the starter, you know, the starter quest line. So if we get into a different campaign with our own, like, with new characters or the same ones, it depends. I kind of like the idea of a new character myself.
Yeah.
But I just feel like as time progresses, it'll just get better and better.
I think that's definitely the case. Dungeons & Dragons is such an open game that it's really, of course, up to the players to make the experience. And so with more experience, from just playing it and just more knowledge and just getting comfortable with role-playing, I think it is getting better every time, and it will continue so for a while.
Right. I think, I don't know that our group is that unique. Mm-hmm. However, we just have a lot of fun riffing on the a lot of the minor things that happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. We also just create NPC characters out of thin air.
Right.
And
he's going to be an actual character.
Yeah, for each session, that is almost the highlight, is whatever character we just name
right.
and capture or torture or whatever, whatever the case may be. But yeah, that has been just a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah, and it's definitely fun as the DM to see you guys do kind of stuff like that. Because if it was all just always cut and dry and just like you just follow like the rules and go on the adventure as like mechanically, it wouldn't be fun. But getting to like role play and just make stuff up to entertain you guys, and then you guys react to entertain me with like whatever you do to the character, it's right. just a lot of fun.
So for an example, we were on our way, I don't even remember where we were going. We were headed towards a town of some kind, and we were ambushed by a group of orcs. Chaos ensued, battle happened, arrows flying everywhere. I entangled Mr. Powell, which has become the typical signature move.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
And at the end of the battle, we left an orc alive to get some information out of him, and he ended up traveling with us almost the entirety of the adventure.
Here's the progression.
Okay. All right.
So Mr. Powell named him Bloodrag. Nicknamed him Bloodrag. I eventually called him Bronson, which then somehow morphed into Doc Bronson because he got his diploma delivered to him via Raven. So now he was a certified MD. And then we decided to just really flush out the name and add the nickname in as like just filler. So he became Dr. Donald Bloodrag Bronson.
And he never actually got a chance to say his real name.
No, he did not.
He had no idea what his real
name
was.
Name.
But under our supervision, he became a doctor, though. So we're like, come on.
He went from raiding caravans to being a doctor.
He went from raiding caravans and pillaging to being a captive to being Mr. Powell's best friend
right.
and a doctor. So
to being carrion fodder.
Yes. Which we don't want to talk about that. But
yep. The betrayal of Dr. Donald Bloodrag Bronson.
So speaking to Seth's earlier comment, this was a character that Seth role-played after we had captured him, and role-played him very well. He ended up being a lot of fun because on occasion, say during combat, when we are just in the throes of heavy combat, we'll hear from the corner Dr. Bronson inserting, you know, very sarcastic quips while he has been tied up and just left to his own devices. We also had an additional party member join us, Josh, created
right.
a character, because our battle gnome, Mr. Gregory's fiance, was not able to join us for this particular session. And it was a lot of fun having Josh join us as an assassin to kind of fill in the gap that was left by our battle gnome.
I will just make a side note. I've never been one to just brag on myself.
Right.
What?
That's what I was waiting for. But I will say that as far as the combat is concerned, I had a couple of pretty powerful moves while using my spells, which in previous sessions I hadn't really utilized. And so that was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
Because spells are, my ranger spells are really cool to begin with. Mm. But obviously when you whip out some amazing move, you really want to connect.
Right.
Because if you like have some verbal spell and then it just misses everyone entirely, it's
right.
the biggest letdown in the world. But luckily both times I used mine, they connected. And not only connected, but I think each spell single-handedly killed like two or three orcs at a time.
Right.
Which was very satisfying for me as the player.
Yeah, it was nice to see more spell usage. And I think as time goes on, we'll see even more knowledge of the mechanics, so you can just keep figuring out that you can actually do crazy things in addition to just your standard attacks and then your standard spells. And it's like, there's a lot more stuff to figure out. So
let's talk about some of our favorite moments. I don't think we have to get into necessarily the details of our whole adventure. Mr. Powell, what was your favorite moment of our most recent adventure?
Well, befriending Doc Bronson, of course.
Yes.
You know, journeying with him.
You say befriend, but
I was his friend.
The majority of the time, you had him tied,
I believe,
strapped
all of the
time. Down.
I believe you also used him as a meat shield, yeah.
Yes. He was an orc shield.
My best friend, the human shield.
Right. And let's talk about why he's called Bloodrag. I believe after every combat, you wiped your sword on his loincloth.
He was mistreated left and right, but...
You know what? Steven, your character was given a new nickname.
Oh, yeah. Was it like Destroyer of Crotches or something?
It was. Hang on.
That's his nickname in real life.
Hey-o. It was something along the line of, like,
Steven Kicker
Aridan, either Destroyer or Kicker.
Aridan, Slayer of Crotches.
That sounds almost worse.
I don't know.
Wow. No. The point is, the point is, let's move past this. at one point in our first engagement, oddly enough, when we recaptured Doc Bronson, an orc charged me, knocked me to the ground, and when I jumped up to my feet, I just kicked him as hard as I could right in the crotch, and it connected, and I knocked him down.
Right.
And he was just wailing in pain, and I got a nickname for it.
Right.
It was very awesome. Which, that goes along with the role-playing, though.
Right.
It's our third session, and now we're getting more comfortable trying random goofy things.
Right.
Because, like, in the first session especially, I would never have even thought, like, I had the freedom to just say, I'm going to kick this guy in the crotch. But now that I know I can just do stuff like that, it's very liberating.
It's liberating kicking folk in the crotch, yes.
Yeah.
I would have to say, I don't have a specific moment, but what I'm discovering is that the epic moments, when you roll the natural 20s and it's awesome and just everything goes right, and when you roll so poorly that everything just goes horribly wrong, I think those are the best moments. And we, again, had a handful of those. I know myself, I almost died during this latest campaign. I was knocked unconscious by...
You tried to tame a troll? Is that correct?
I did try to tame a troll.
You batted across the room.
It did not go well. It ended well, but initially it did not go well. Let's talk about role-playing our alignment, and I'm going to have Seth maybe talk about this, being kind of the observer of the entire group. We're all still new to role-playing at large. However, I think we're getting a little bit better. Seth, what is your take on how this is going?
You guys are completely garbage. but it's okay. Like you said, you're getting better, you're learning. And I think it's just a matter of kind of figuring out who your character actually is. It's like you start the game with this like idea, and then as you're playing, you realize, I actually really enjoy doing this a lot more, and the way that I actually play my character lends towards this. So then you kind of just get in that groove.
Right.
And I think that's definitely starting to happen.
I like when a character has a good arc, and I think that's true of role-playing as well. I think you can go into a game with some assumptions about who you're going to be and what your character is going to do, but if there's no development over the course of a quest or a campaign, it might be a little bit dull. And we had an event happen in which Aridan, Steven's character, kind of played against alignment. However... given his backstory, makes perfect sense. And he actually ended Doc Bronson.
Mm-hmm. Very suddenly, very violently.
It was kind of out of the blue, but it was awesome. And I think there is some potential there for a really cool character arc.
Plus, it's really caused just the ever-expanding rift between Mr. Powell and I's characters
right.
to just get wider and wider.
Mm-hmm. I feel like near the end of the game, there will be a point when just like Civil War breaks out. And I don't know when that's going to happen or what it's going to look like, but it's going to be interesting.
It will be interesting because right. It definitely seems like the team is developing in such a way where it is kind of split on like the darker side and then the lighter members.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there actually was a Civil War, it would be pretty intense
because yeah.
it might end up even being like 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know what would happen if in that situation, but
we're just going to be walking along the path. Just nobody around, and Seth is going to go, roll for initiative.
Yes.
Your enmity has grown such that the sound of Erdan's footsteps drives
right?
you insane. You must attack. You cannot stop this combat.
Well, and even the overall party is developing a little bit of an arc. I know Kaylee is playing a chaotic evil character, but she's rolling with a group that is, for the most part, good. So a lot of the...
Was, for the most part, good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because we added Josh, who's a dark elf rogue, as he
right.
said, an assassin, nonetheless. So very dark in mm-hmm. there. And then it's interesting because oftentimes Kaylee and I will kind of split off and we're like a duo of sorts.
Right.
We do a lot of things to help each other out. But because of that interaction, it's almost like a whole Emperor Palpatine corrupting Anakin Skywalker sort of thing. as we hang out and we're just chilling at the campsite, she just slowly is turning me towards the dark side. Which is kind of awesome, though, in a way.
It is, yeah.
And that's why I'm almost letting it happen. Because obviously I'd just be a stick in the mud and just never do anything exciting.
Right.
But it makes sense that, like, the main person I interact with in the group, if she is, like, planning these kind of thoughts
right.
in my head, that every now and then I would kind of sway more towards that
right.
end. So,
which, again, I think it's cool that you just kind of snapped in this last session.
Yep.
And I think...
Dark Bronson, may he rest in peace.
I think Kaylee's character had a big part to play in
yes.
that decision.
Well, it was funny because... How this all went down is Doc Bronson was turning to leave because Mr. Powell had freed him.
He had changed.
And I actually, from behind Doc Bronson, and I held my longsword up to like the back of his brainstem pretty much.
Mm.
And I looked at Kaylee, and that's what's funny about it. And she just like does this very subtle nod, like, yes, do it. And then
yeah.
I just stabbed my sword through this dude's face.
Right.
And everyone was like, what?
I imagine like this dramatic scene where I'm talking to Doc Bronson. I'm like patting him on the shoulder, sending him on his way. And all of a sudden like a sword like pops out and then he like dramatically falls on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
His last words being mouthed was like, I love you or something.
And then all of a sudden there's just like a blade coming out of like his mouth.
Right.
And like, oh, good Lord.
Oh, man. But that's why this game is awesome. It creates moments like that. And before we wrap up, I guess the last thing I want to say is that D&D 5th Edition is lending its system to other universes. So we are going to see Lord of the Rings under the 5th Edition rule set
that's right.
in the near future. And I think that's going to be very cool. It's very similar already, but
yeah.
if you're into Lord of the Rings, I think this is big news.
Excited.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure. It would be very cool.
Right.
Instead of having a creature like a bugbear that's already, in a
it's
way,
like a
similar to an Uruk-hai,
right.
you would actually just have an Uruk-hai, and mm-hmm. that would be very, very neat
yeah.
for fans of the series to experience.
I think Lord of the Rings would be pretty awesome and a lot of fun, but I think it also is just a lot more limited in how you would even play that and interact. So I'm not sure if I would want to DM a campaign for Lord of the Rings. I think it'd be difficult, but It's definitely an interesting concept. I would like to see more of how it would play out. The Lord of the Rings is just a lot more. It's like very serious and a very well-established world and what you can do and can't do.
Yeah.
Here's actually the thing, right, is that D&D 5th edition and really all Dungeons & Dragons, it is up to the Dungeon Master to decide, like, what the world is going to look like. So you can create, and people do this, like, primarily they play their own campaigns instead of a pre-established campaign with their own rules, their own, like, races, their own kind of, like, classes almost, their own just environments. And so you can make whatever kind of Dungeons & Dragons game experience you want, and that could be crazy. It could be some weird, like, space opera sci-fi western. It could be, like, prehistoric, like, dinosaurs. I don't even know. There's the possibilities are endless.
So these are the things we're striving for as a fledgling role-playing group. I think we're doing a pretty good job thus far. I don't know. What have you learned as the DM, Seth?
The big thing I learned is, like, give you guys more guidance. As far as when I first started, I was, like, in the mindset that, okay, this is going to be role-playing where you are the ones figuring everything out and doing everything. So almost like I was removed from the equation except for just facilitating. But then I realized that it's not fun really for anybody if, like, you guys are just either lost or don't know where you're going or what you're trying to do. So I tried to really kind of, like, push you along in the right way so that it's more fun for me and more fun for you guys.
Right.
So that was the big thing.
Very good job, Ed, by the way.
It was well, thank you. Until we almost decided to skip an entire play session.
that would have been okay, but it's like just when I don't know, like I say, there's this cave and they're just like goblins, as opposed to saying like the goblins are now like talking about certain events that are happening, and like even if you don't like interrogate a goblin in the exact way, maybe the goblin will still like give you information about something that you need to know. So things like that. Where it's like not necessarily like handing you things or holding your hand even, but kind of just a little more hints, a little more organic in the way that you figure things out. So that it's like I'm not punishing you for not asking the exact right question, which I think I did in those first encounters. There were things that you probably could have learned that I could have allowed you to learn that would have sped things up a little bit. But I just didn't, because I was like, oh, well, they didn't actually ask this question or whatever. So.
Right. So that's good advice for young DM, as well as if you're playing with a novice group, then you need to help them along.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, like I said, it's not, I don't think it compromises the integrity of the game whatsoever. And I'm sure as we all get more experienced, that'll just become kind of second nature, you guys asking the right questions and figuring things out, and me giving the right hints. But when you first start out, it's kind of difficult.
Yeah. Well, we're all having a lot of fun, and we're definitely doing it our way.
Oh, yeah.
That is for sure. So.
And it's just going to get better. I've actually got a lot of stuff planned for this next session. I'm starting to put my own things into it. So
nice.
The things that you experience will not have been experienced by any other group playing Lost Mine of Phandelver.
I'm leaning towards the idea, I'll say this when we're done, when you wrap up.
Okay.
But I'm leaning towards taking an established character from a book or a TV series or whatever the case may be, bringing them into D&D so I have like a basis, because you have like a set personality.
Right.
So you kind of know how to role play instead of trying to just make it up as you go along. So like if you, I mean, I'm not actually going to do this, but if you had Jon Snow from Game of Thrones, you kind of know how he's going to respond and how he's going to react to certain things. And that, for me at least, sounds, it's kind of a draw, like having that side of it figured out.
Right.
But then, of course, if you want to just be able to do anything you want, then you want to have your own character from scratch. So it goes either way. But I'm just going to kind of experiment with taking a kind of a pre-made character and see how that goes.
Right.
I would say that is a fantastic idea, both for players and DMs to take pre-established characters, that have like what they're going to do, and then you just take that in the direction you choose. So you can either stay as what they would do in whatever work they were in, or spin it your own way. But just borrowing those elements is not a like Dungeons and Dragons sin in the least. It's something that you're almost expected to do, because that's ideally what the game is drawing on all these other influences you have, and then using it in a way that you want to. So,
right.
I approve.
I am glad.
Seth approves. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we wrap up episode 26 of the Board Game Point of View?
Rob Davio.
Doc Bronson.
Dude, Rob Davio, Doc Bronson, tag team.
All right, well, tune in. We will have more exciting news about our headquarters and more exciting games to review.
Whoa, what is happening over there?
We have a man literally off the street.
As we close, we have Mr. Hosa joining us, who is co-owner of the headquarters.
How's it going, guys?
He has recently discovered board games, and I think is hooked. And we're going to have him on at a later date. Any final thoughts, Mr. Hosa?
Live long and prosper.
Excellent.
We're going to have to bleep that out.
We can't say that.
Your one thought. Come
right.
On.
I don't know. Join us again for episode 28, coming soon.
What? 27.
Also 28, though.
Well, 28. So. After 27.
Yeah, but it'll be there, so stay tuned.
It's a math podcast, by the
right.
way.
Right.
Numbers.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Peace.
Anytime we need to bring the stupid, Adam's just like, yo, Steven, you got this. It's perfect. I take offense, but...
I mean, I'm personally of the opinion that Steven should just be bleeped much more often, but...
I'd say we just... That's all right. That Steven is involved, we just bleep his voice over. And he's just not involved. He's just a bleep.
Funny. Funny. This podcast would just be nothing without me, so...
Wow. The egos are clashing.
It would be nothing without you too, Seth. Or Adam.
Don't patronize me.
Okay, you suck.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's get right down to the nitty-gritty.